Hello, guys. You're listening to Let Them Hear This Hour. This is LSR. I'm Joe. Normally, I'd be joined by Kat, but this week she can't make it. She got an important appointment. So we're going to be doing a bit of a change up to our ordinary format. So to start us off, I'm going to play what is, without a doubt, possibly the cheeriest, most lovely song I've heard for a very, very long time. So enjoy it. This is called Leva by Varaldin's Band.
Glömmer förväntan, lita på henne, lejser.
Hello, 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 and good morning. You're listening to Let Them Hear on LSR. I'm Joe. So we are, like I said earlier, having a slightly different week because, well, I'm on my own in the studio for the first time. What we're going to do instead, we normally have a few features and stuff, but I'm going to take this next hour to try and break down what this show is all about. So we've talked before a lot about what it means to be a Christian, because this show is about that. This is what the show is about. It's called Let Them Hear. We're representing the Christian Union on the air, and yeah, there's a lot to talk about, and we've been talking about how people respond, how people receive the gospel, but this week I'd like to just talk explicitly about what is the gospel. And so I started with that very, very cheery band. They're called Varlands Band. They're a bit of a strange one, actually. They're from Sweden? I can't believe they're from Sweden. They visited the university a little while ago and did a live performance in the music department, and I love them. So do check them out. Varlands Band, absolutely worth your time. So, what is the gospel? We're going to try and come to this from five or six different angles. In a minute, we're going to be talking about the very, very beginning of the story. By gospel, I just really mean the story of the universe according to the Bible. And it's Jesus' story. He's the author of it. So we're going to be looking at the very, very beginning of that story in a little while. If you like what you're hearing in the background, by the way, this lovely, lovely EP here is called The Miracle. It's an EP, probably the most substantial electronic EP release I've ever heard in my life, by DJ Rum. And we're going to be having that in the background as we go along. So for now, I'm going to play you a song called Gong by a producer called Favela, who's a really, really cool guy. He's from Leeds, so check this out.
Yeah.
Was Gong by Favela. It's gorgeous, isn't it? I absolutely love it. So, right, here we are. Let them hear. Let them hear the gospel. We're talking about the gospel today. So let's look at the very, very beginning. We are... In the beginning we have God. It says at the very, very beginning of the Bible, in the beginning, God. So that's kind of the premise of everything I'm coming from, is that the God of the Bible... what he says about the universe. So, okay, we have God creating everything in the universe, and I think that's not exactly a shocking concept to people. I think everyone knows that's what Christianity believes. But there's something interesting about it that strikes people, and it strikes me every time I think about it, is that God didn't need to create you and me. He didn't need to create anything. He was perfectly happy, and it's kind of similar to when a mother and a father, they have children. They don't need children, but they decide to. They create something for the purpose of having a relationship with it and for the purpose of loving it. And it's the same with God in creating this creation. He created you and me for the purpose of relationship with Him. And I think that's quite mind blowing. But unfortunately, the second thing we need to look at and understand is that we've made a mess of things. We're not doing a great job of this, being in relationship with God. We mess it up every day, and so we reject Him. And the way I like to think of this, it's kind of like, imagine you're sitting at Nando's and the restaurant comes in. Maybe you're working at Nando's, say, and the CEO or some important manager comes in and sits down and orders a glass of water. And you go to get it for her, and when you bring it to the table, you spit in the glass of water, and you present it to essentially your boss, and she looks at it, she takes it, and she says, surely you know I can't drink this, and demands that you give it back, you take it back, and you pour it out and fill it up again with something new. And it's kind of the same, even though some people like to think that I'm really not that bad, I'm really a good person, that water, that glass of water is like 99%. 99.9% H2O, but there's a tiny bit of spit in there, and that makes it completely unacceptable for it to achieve its purpose with its creator or with its boss, essentially. Obviously that's limited, but that's the way I like to think about it. We've become tainted. We've tainted ourselves, and we are inherently tainted, and that's a big problem. So I'm going to play a song that I think kind of catches the vibe of that. You might find this incredibly cheesy, but James Blake is quite a dark electronic producer, very reverbial, and in this case, proverbial with his darkness. So we're going to have a listen to him. This is called Life Round Here. Enjoy.
Square one.
Touchdown on a rainy day, a lecture on a foggy day. It was pretty grim. I love that tune. Love it. Welcome to the show. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Let Them Hear on LSR. I'm Joe. We're having a bit of an unusual show this week. Not going with the usual format. We're just going to explain what we're all about. I've got a chance really to fill the hour with what we are about. So we're going through the gospel bit by bit. We've just mentioned that God made everything. Quite basic, quite simple. We've rejected him. And this next point means that there is a consequence to that. Similarly to the analogy about the restaurant I just mentioned, that if you brought this disgusting glass of water to your boss, she would probably fire you. There is a consequence to being messed up like that, to rejecting our maker. So if you've seen the Avengers, the first one, one of the characters is mentioned, she has red on her ledger. It's like there's like a stain that needs to be sorted out. Everyone has to stop playing the victim and understand that the problem with the world, because everyone understands there's a problem with the world, everyone understands that suffering shouldn't be there. We talked about that in one of the shows recently. We talked about suffering. And it evokes this feeling in us that it shouldn't be like that. But we have to stop playing the victim and acknowledge our part in the problem. Because the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And I've heard that said by a number of people, and I think it's really apt. It's really clever. Our hearts rejecting God, rejecting how they're supposed to be, in many cases, not every case, is the cause of a lot of the rubbish we see around us. And if you don't see it like that, if you don't see that there's something wrong inside you, if there's something imperfect about you, I'm going to dare to say that you're either too proud to admit it or too hurt to see it. And it's really quite liberating to acknowledge the fact that we're not expected to be perfect. We're not able to be perfect. And I think everyone understands that. It's the idea that no human is perfect is one of the most common ideas I've ever heard. And yeah, that's a central part of the gospel, is that we can't do it. We can't do it ourselves. And the Old Testament, the whole half of the Bible, essentially, is about that. It's about the fact that the Jewish people, the chosen people of God, were given these commands and these tasks, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it in their flesh. They needed help, and the entire story is about them waiting for God to deliver them, and for Jesus, or the Messiah, or the promised one, to come and free them from all of this. And we're going to talk about that after this next song, which is called Walking with Elephants. It's by a producer called Ten Walls, and like James Blake, is another architect of the bass. So please do enjoy. It's absolutely stomping. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That bass line on there. It's so good. I don't think I will though. For your sake. That's 10 Walls, and that tune is called Walking with Elephants. Check it out. Check out some more of 10 Walls stuff. It's all a very similar sound, but it's all absolutely brilliant. Okay, so you're listening to Let Them Hear. We're going through the gospel this week, and well done for getting through it. We've gone through possibly the hardest bit so far, so congratulations if you're still on, if you're still listening. Big shout out to Kat, by the way, who is listening. She's normally on the show with me, but big thank you to her for introducing me to LSR. I'm really enjoying it. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break because it was getting a bit intense, and we're going to return to it in a little while. We are from the CU, which is a society on campus called the Christian Union, and we're all about Jesus. We gather each week to worship Jesus together, to hear about something from the Bible, to learn from the Bible. So often we get guest speakers in. Well, every week we have guest speakers in. Last week we had two. We had two events, one on Monday, one on Thursday. One was called The Feast. We all gathered in the refectory, had an amazing dinner, huge lasagna, loads of food, awesome community. And it was a really, really wonderful evening. So We continue to do stuff like that on campus all the time, so keep an eye out and watch those spaces on Facebook and on Twitter, and you'll be able to catch up and find out all about what we're doing, and on a regular basis probably get access to a lot of free food. It's pretty amazing. And tonight at 8 o'clock in the Rupert Beckett Theatre, we are going to be meeting again. Our weekly meeting is called Equip. This week we're going to be hearing from a guest speaker from a church in Leeds on the topic of love the Lord your God with all your mind, which is part of a great commandment Jesus gave us. And what we're doing this week is we're looking at the gospel in essentially in a nutshell, which is quite a difficult thing to do. But if you're interested in hearing more about Christianity, kind of in a really well, a better communicated version than I could ever do, kind of summarized in a nutshell in really, really cool information packets, check out the Bible Project on YouTube. They do really, really cool animations with really, really well thought out communications of themes in the Bible and books in the Bible. There's a really amazing one called Heaven and Hell, which part of some of the stuff we were talking about last week was actually based on. And yeah, it would be really worth your time to go and have a look at that stuff. We're going to have a listen to another tune. This is a bit of an interesting one. It's called by a guy called Boogaloo, which is just brilliant in itself. And it's called 1 John 1. For a good reason, because it's a hip-hop spoken word for a project being referred to as an urban audio Bible. Yes, you heard me, scriptural hip-hop, and they're trying to do the whole Bible, and they're doing it one chapter at a time. So this is a spoken word written about Jesus, written by his best friend, John. The Saint John, that I'm sure you've heard of. And yeah, this is performed by Boogaloo. Check it out, it's very interesting. And also, we're going to be moving on to some really important stuff in the gospel, and we're going to need to hear what the Bible says about it.
1 John chapter 1. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts.
Well, there you go. Given to us by Mr. Boogaloo, whose name I fully respect and love. Yeah, he really summed up a lot of what we talked about already. This is all from God. God made everything. We are sinful, which means we've rejected God, and there's a consequence of that. There is punishment that needs to happen. And this next thing I want to talk about is something that he mentioned as well, is that Jesus washes us clean. So the Old Testament is going on. They're trying to do what God tells them to do. They can't do it. They keep messing up, similar to how we do all the time. They're looking forward to this Messiah, this guy, Christ, who's going to come and do it for them, live perfectly on their behalf, on our behalf. And this is what Jesus did. So we are washed clean by the work of Jesus. So Jesus lives his perfect life. And the image to describe that at different times in the Old Testament is like a perfect spotless lamb is sacrificed in order to absorb the sin of those who do it, who sacrifice them. And that's kind of the imagery used to describe what Jesus was going to do. He'd live a perfect life in order that he could absorb the consequences of the things that we've done. And because he's God, not only can he do that, he can do that for everyone. and he can beat it. He can be victorious over death, over the grave. And that's what he does on the cross. So the cross is all about Jesus taking consequence for our sin, being sacrificed by us, by humans. He was killed by humans. God was killed by humans because that's how much he cared about dealing with the consequence, that he let that happen so that we could be in relationship with him. And it's only in a state of being cleansed by Jesus. Being a believer just means believing that you've been cleansed by the work of Jesus on the cross. That's the only prerequisite for having access to all of eternity with God. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And I've got a tune for you to hear. It's all about that, about Jesus. And it's a really, really beautiful song about Jesus. And I want you to listen to it. I want you to enjoy it. So here you go.
Son of man, reach out your hand and touch my weary heart. Son of man, reach out your hand and heal my failing heart. Son of man, reach out your hand and touch my weary heart. Son of man, reach out your hand and heal my failing heart. It's you.
That's a song by Loud Harp. It's called It's You. It's really lovely. Really, really gets me. All right. Here we are on Let Them Hear on LSR. You're listening in, and welcome to the show. If you've just tuned in, I'm Joe. We're going through the gospel, and that's what that song was about. It was about Jesus, about what he's done, his work on the cross. And that's just what we've mentioned. Jesus did a tremendous work on the cross to clean us, because we have rejected God, and there's a consequence of that because he made us. So that's what we've talked about so far. And this next bit's pretty cool. Now that we've been washed clean, now that if we believe that this is what Jesus has done, then it gets applied to us. And once that happens, we're clean. And what happens when you're clean is God moves in. Like, literally. The Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as part of the triune God, this three in one, which is a whole theological thing to get into. But the Holy Spirit is a person of that. And it's God kind of manifested and made known on earth. So he moves in, the Holy Spirit moves in and lives in us. So the law that the Old Testament is all about is now written in our hearts, because that's where God lives. Instead of God living in a tabernacle or in a temple, that temple is now our bodies. And that's a phrase that's thrown about, that our bodies are a temple. It's a biblical idea, because the Holy Spirit lives in our body. That's what makes our body a temple, not anything else. And that makes amazing things possible. It makes it possible with God literally living in us. We can do, because basically that was the amazing thing about Jesus, is that he was God in flesh. And now, because of what Jesus has done, we can be God in flesh. And that's insane. We are, obviously we're not God, but he is in us. He's in our flesh. And we can do the things that Jesus could do. We can live obedient to God. We can have authority over no longer being slaves to these awful habits or these self-harming or self-sabotaging things we do all the time that we can't stop ourselves from doing for some reason. We can stop doing those things because we have a new master. Our master is no longer ourselves. We're no longer our own master, but God is our master. Our creator is our master. And that's how we're made to be. That's when we're our most human, is when we are not only saved by Jesus. He's not only our savior, but he's our Lord. Yeah, and that's where we are so far. And there's a lot of amazing people in the history of the church and the history of Christianity who are all about this work that becomes possible by the Holy Spirit that lives in us because of the cleansing work of Jesus, which we needed because there was red on our ledger because we'd rejected God who made us. That's where we are. So bear with us, we're almost through. You're doing a really good job listening, and this next song is about some of those guys in history. It's quite an old song that's been written to new melody and performed by Pete, who was on the show last week, which is really cool. He's the president of the CU, and he's a flipping awesome musician, and he's got a beautiful voice. So have a listen and enjoy.
Us to our knees, a need that undiminished.
That is We Face a Task Unfinished, sung by Peter Yellen Brown, the president of RCU this year, and an absolute legend. Shout out to Pete if you're listening. So yeah, welcome to the show. This is Let Them Hear on LSR. We're almost through. It's almost 10 to 12. And yeah, we're at the end of our show where we're basically pulling out all the stops and we're being explicit about what Christians mean when they say the gospel of Jesus. Because the word is thrown around a lot and it's sometimes just a bit of jargon that's not very useful. So far we've had God made everything. Simple. We rejected him. It's pretty obvious. There needs to be a consequence of that. It can't just be ignored because God, that would be a denial of who God is. And he can't do that. So there has to be consequence. And Jesus accepted that consequence on our behalf. And he cleansed us on the cross. That's what that work was all about. And because of that, it's made it possible and he's made a way for God to move in and live in us and tell us literally what to do next. Which is really, really useful because he's God and he knows much better than I do. And next, the final point is, what do we do now? What happens next? And in a nutshell, I'd call this worship. We worship God. We're grateful to him. We live in response to what he's done. We don't have to earn our way into heaven. He's already done that for us. Now that I have had my place secured in heaven by the work of Jesus on the cross, the only thing I have left to do is to thank God all the time because it's amazing. So it's a life of thankfulness to God for what he's done and his worship, and it affects every area of our lives. Not only that, but we have authority now. We have a new authority. I mentioned this briefly before. Not only to kind of slap away the problems we may have had before with new authority, but it says in Romans, a book in the Bible, that we are co-heirs with Christ, as in we're going to inherit what Christ inherits. Like, it's big. It's a big deal because he's God. He's literally the prince of the universe, and so am I by extension. He made everything there is, and I get what he gets because of what he's done. I'm a co-heir with him. So this inheritance that the Bible promises to those who God has cleansed, and by that cleansing moved into, and by moving into empowered, and by empowering given this huge inheritance to, the promises given to us are insane, and they will go on for eternity and we'll never get bored of them. And it's an open invitation to everybody. That's really important. If you want to find out more about it, please do join us at Equip tonight at 8 o'clock at the Rupert Becker Theatre. It'd be really great to see you there. And do come and find me if you've come and you've heard and you want to have a chat. I'd love to talk to you about it. And if you want to get in contact with us on the show, then do message the Facebook page. We're always looking for people to interact with online. So it would be great to hear from you. And on the subject of inheritance, got a great recommendation from Steve Bradley, who was on the show on our first week, maybe our second week. He was on our show previously, and this is called Playa's Inheritance. Playa's with a Z. It's really cool. It's by John Gibbs. We had a tune from him last week, and yeah, Playa's Inheritance. It's really, really interesting. It's talking about people basically being resistant to the fact that we got to live God's way. We have a responsibility to live the way God wants us to, and we don't always want to do that. So this is him talking about that, so enjoy.
From a dying breed and dire need, the dialect is dying young and trying things. So what's the jug? What's the word? There's trouble waiting on me right outside the curb. I ain't scared though, I got a lot of courage in my step. I fit the Hennessy, I take it to the neck. I never look for what's at stake because I'm blessed. I could probably get to heaven off the strength of mama's breast. She praying for me while I'm hanging with the pimps in the player. I just want to get a glimpse, feel the flow. We got the function with our hands in the air. Love the way the baby drop it on me low. Get down. Doing everything that a player want to. Living off the milk and honey of the land. Me and the homies got the juice when we come through. Lifestyle you would never understand unless you wanna be a player.
All I need, my maker.
I'm from a dying breed, and Diagony, the dialect is dying young and trying things. So what's the haps? What's the move? I ain't trying to hurt nobody, I'm just trying to groove. Never scared though, so if you with the friction, you can step. I paint your face a pretty picture with my left. I never look for what's at stake because I'm blessed. I probably never get to heaven because I make my mama stress. She praying for me while I'm hanging with the pimps and the players. I just gotta get a glimpse, feel the flow. Had to function with her hands in the air. I love the way the room moving real slow. Doing everything that I'm not supposed to. Stealing all the milk and honey in the land. Me and the homies took the juice when we came to. Lifestyle you would never understand unless you wanna be a player.
Before I meet my maker, before he take my soul, I wanna be a player. I'll take my game to grow. Somebody call my mama and tell her pray some more. I gotta get these dollars. That's just the way it goes.
That was Player's Inheritance by John Gibbs and Sick Tune. Sick Tune. You've been listening to Let Them Hear on LSR. I'm Joe, and thanks for listening. It's been a really good hour. Had a really good time. And I'm going to end on the most important part of this whole message. That is the gospel. The most staggering thing that is included in the gospel is that Jesus did not only die on the cross. He's not just a dead man. He rose again. He is alive now. That's not just a crazy claim for something nice to say. It's proof. It's a historically documented thing in these four ludicrously well-evidenced historical texts that we have included in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Historical documentation of a man coming back to life after dying. And it's proof that this guy is special, that Jesus is a very interesting character at the very least. And to those who believe that this did happen, it proves that he has power over death. It proves that he has power to give us forgiveness, to forgive us our sins, and to give us power that he has, and to go on and live the way he does and do the things he can do by his spirit living in us, which he can do because he's washed us from his work on the cross, which we needed because there was red on our ledger because we'd rejected God and he made us, and that means that he gets to say what's best. So thanks for listening. It is an amazing message, and I hope you can appreciate that and respect it at the very least, and you can absolutely take it or leave it, but I couldn't recommend more highly that you investigate it seriously because it's a huge claim. Eternity hangs in the balance. Thanks for listening anyway, and it would be great to see you at Rupert Beckett Theatre tonight at 8. See you there.